Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Today, we're tackling something pretty mind-blowing. Self-healing electronics.
Yeah, you heard that right.
Like electronics that can actually repair themselves.
Using math?
It sounds like science fiction.
Well, it's getting closer to reality all the time, and we're going to look at how. Starting with this research paper that focuses on protecting, well, one of the most basic building blocks of electronics.
Which is?
The flip-flop.
Oh, right. Flip-flops.
Okay.
Can you remind me what exactly is a flip-flop again? I always forget.
Think of it like a light switch.
Okay.
That can only be on or off. That's basically what a flip-flop does in a circuit. It stores a single bit of information, a one or a zero.
Gotcha.
And just like you need tons of light switches to control all the lights in your house, you need tons of these flip-flops to make a computer work.
So these flip-flops are everywhere in electronics, right? Like in our phones and computers? Pretty much. Yeah. They're the foundation of memory, processors, almost everything digital. And that's why they're such a tempting target for hackers.
Makes sense. If you can mess with the flip-flops, you can mess with the whole system.
Exactly.
So how are they talking about messing with them in this paper?
With something called an EMI attack.
EMI attack. Okay. Break that down for me. What does EMI even stand for?
So EMI stands for extreme electromagnetic interference. Basically, imagine someone zapping your electronics with a really powerful electromagnetic pulse, like trying to scramble the data stored in those flip-flops.
Okay. So like an EMP.
Yeah, similar concept.
And this paper claims to have a way to protect against that.
That's what's so cool about this. It's all about using math.
Math to stop an EMP attack.
The paper focuses on a specific type of flip-flop called a D flip-flop, which is basically like a tiny memory cell. Now, stay with me here because it does get a little technical.
Okay, I'm with you.
They use something called differential equations to model how this flip-flop behaves.
Differential equations. So we're talking like advanced calculus here.
Yeah, you got it.
I vaguely remember that from college.
It might sound intimidating, but think of these equations as like a mathematical blueprint that describes how the flip-flop works.
Okay.
And by adjusting these equations, you can actually change how the flip-flop reacts to different signals, even in an attack.
So that's where the self-healing part comes in.
Exactly. The researchers call it self-modifying differential equations. It's like giving the equations a little bit of intelligence so they can adapt and respond to a threat.
Interesting. So instead of just passively taking the hit from this electromagnetic pulse, the flip-flop can actually change how it works to protect itself.
Right. They use something called meta variables to monitor what's happening in the flip-flop. And if an attack is detected, these meta variables can trigger a healing response, tweaking the equations and counteracting the disruption.
Whoa. So hold on. It's like these equations are like tiny repair robots constantly monitoring the flip-flop and jumping into action when they sense an attack.
That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like giving the flip-flop a little immune system.
And these equations are like alive.
Well, not exactly alive, but they can adapt. It's all based on some really clever math. The idea is that the equations themselves are constantly changing based on what's happening to the flip-flop.
Okay, so can you give me like a concrete example of how these healing variables actually work? I'm having trouble picturing it.
Okay. Imagine you have a group of dancers.
Okay.
And one of them gets injured. The other dancers can adjust their positions and movements to compensate.
Yeah. Right? Yes, sense.
It's kind of like that. They add these extra variables to the system. And if some of them are under attack, the others can step in and help restore the system.
Huh. So it's a team effort. With different variables taking turns as like signal and healing components, like a decentralized system where there's no single point of failure.
Yeah, exactly. That makes the system a lot more robust.
Yeah.
And much harder to attack. Because instead of just trying to disrupt one thing, the attacker now has to disrupt multiple things simultaneously.
I see. And you mentioned something about cyclic interdependencies too. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's another layer of protection.
Yeah.
Think of it as a network of support where different variables can actually help heal each other.
Yeah.
It's like a team working together to fix a problem with everyone supporting each other.
So the flip-flop can figure out when it's being attacked and then fix itself.
That's the idea.
That's incredible.
The math makes it possible. Of course, you know, this research is still mostly theoretical at this point, but it suggests some pretty incredible potential.
Yeah, no kidding. It's definitely mind-blowing. But it also makes me wonder, what if the attackers get even smarter? What if they figure out how this healing mechanism works and try to target that directly?
You've hit on a crucial point there. Cybersecurity is a constant game of cat and mouse.
Right.
As defenders come up with new strategies, attackers are always trying to find ways to get around them.
So it's an arms race.
Exactly. Which means we need to keep innovating and developing even more robust systems. That's the thing about cybersecurity. It's always evolving. Always a new challenge.
So there's no, like, silver bullet solution.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah.
But research like this shows us that we can create systems that are much tougher than we thought possible.
Yeah. It's almost like giving these tiny electronic components a brain of their own.
Right.
But how would we actually build something like this? It seems so complex.
It is complex. But the researchers actually included a thought experiment in this paper. A way to explore how you might actually implement this in hardware.
A thought experiment. So like a hypothetical scenario.
Exactly. They call it a Gedanken experiment. It's a German word.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a way to think through the practical challenges without actually having to build anything yet.
I'm intrigued. Okay, walk me through this thought experiment.
All right, so imagine you build two identical copies of that D flip-flop circuit we talked about.
Okay.
One of them acts as the primary computing unit, the one actually doing the work.
And the other one?
The other one is like a watchdog. It's constantly monitoring its twin.
Okay, so we have a flip-flop doing the actual work. And another one just watching it. Seems a little redundant.
It's not redundant. It's actually pretty clever. The watchdog has access to all the inputs and outputs of both flip-flops.
Mm.
And it uses this information to calculate those meta variables we were talking about earlier.
Ah, so it's like measuring the difference between the behavior of the two circuits.
Right. And if the watchdog senses that its twin is being attacked, it can actually step in and modify the primary circuit to counteract the disruption.
Wow. So it's like a built-in bodyguard for your electronics.
Exactly.
But how does it actually modify the circuit? Like, what does that look like?
The paper suggests that it could adjust the primary flip-flop's internal parameters.
Okay.
Essentially, changing how it responds to incoming signals.
Okay. My head is spinning a little trying to keep up with all this.
It's definitely complex stuff.
But this is all still focused on flip-flops, right?
Right.
Could this type of self-modification work on other things besides electronics?
That's what's so exciting about this research. The researchers believe that this concept could have much wider applications.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Well, think about biological systems.
Yeah.
Our bodies are constantly repairing damage to our DNA caused by things like radiation and other environmental factors.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So our cells actually have their own self-healing mechanisms already built in.
Huh. I never thought about it like that.
And this paper suggests that we could learn from these biological systems
to
create even more robust artificial systems. Imagine applying these principles to things like computer networks or power grids or even financial systems.
A self-healing power grid. That would be incredible.
Right. Imagine a financial system that could automatically detect and recover from a cyber attack.
Whoa. Yeah, now you're really getting me thinking. But this all sounds a bit too good to be true. Are there any potential downsides to creating these kinds of self-modifying systems?
Well, of course, like with any powerful technology, there are always potential risks.
Yeah. What should we be worried about?
One concern is that these systems can become so complex that we lose the ability to understand them or even control them.
So they could start doing things we don't expect.
It's a valid concern,
mm-hmm.
which is why we need to be incredibly careful and thoughtful as we develop this technology.
It's not just about creating systems that can heal themselves.
Right.
It's also about understanding how those systems might evolve over time.
Exactly. We need to think about the long-term implications of creating systems that can essentially modify their own behavior.
It's like we're stepping into a whole new world where the line between a machine and a living organism starts to blur.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And it raises some pretty profound ethical questions that we need to start addressing.
Like what kind of ethical questions?
Well, for example, if we create systems that can learn and adapt on their own.
Yeah.
Who is responsible when things go wrong?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Right. It's almost like we're creating a new species of intelligent machines. And we need to figure out how to coexist with them.
So what's the next step here? What kind of research needs to be done to move from these like theoretical models to real world applications?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is translating these mathematical models into actual hardware implementations.
Okay.
That's going to require a lot of collaboration between mathematicians, computer scientists, and electrical engineers.
So a truly interdisciplinary effort.
Exactly. And we need to think carefully about the ethical and societal implications of this technology as well.
It sounds like we're really just scratching the surface of what's possible here.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's clear that this research has opened up some really exciting avenues for exploration.
And I think the next few years are going to be incredibly exciting as we start to see these ideas come to life.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the future holds.
Me neither. It's a brave new world out there.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to shape it responsibly.
This whole idea of self-modifying systems, it really feels like it could completely change how we think about technology.
I think so, too. And, you know, it's not just limited to electronics and circuits, either. The researchers even touched upon the potential role of quantum physics in all this.
Quantum physics? Whoa. Okay, now we're getting really out there. How does that even fit into this?
Well, you know, quantum physics deals with the behavior of matter at the atomic and subatomic levels.
Right.
And it's full of all these strange and counterintuitive phenomena that could potentially be harnessed to create even more powerful self-modifying systems.
Okay, give me an example. I'm having trouble picturing how quantum physics could actually make these systems better.
All right, think about quantum entanglement. It's that weird phenomenon where two particles are linked together no matter how far apart they are.
Yeah, I've heard of that. It's like they can communicate instantly across vast distances.
Exactly. And the researchers think that entanglement could be used to create systems that are basically, like, incredibly resilient to attacks.
How so?
So imagine a system where the healing mechanisms are distributed across multiple entangled particles.
Okay.
So even if an attacker manages to disrupt one of the particles, the others could instantly compensate, making the system basically unhackable.
That sounds amazing. But also, kind of terrifying, you know? Creating systems that are so complex and interconnected that we may not even fully understand how they work.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, for sure. But it's important to remember that we're still in the very early stages of all this.
This whole conversation has been a wild ride. We started with a simple light switch analogy.
Right.
And now we're talking about quantum entanglement and self-healing systems that sound like something out of Star Trek.
It's pretty amazing how far we've come.
So for our listeners who might be feeling a little overwhelmed by all this, what's the one thing you want them to take away from this deep dive?
I think the biggest takeaway is that the future of technology is going to be increasingly dynamic and adaptive, and maybe even self-aware in some ways. And this opens up some incredible possibilities, but also some real challenges that we need to start thinking about now.
Yeah, it really feels like we're on the verge of something brand new. It's a future where the lines between hardware and software, between machine and organism, could start to get really blurry.
That's right. And that's why it's so important for everyone to be part of this conversation.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, we're going to leave you with a final thought. If self-modification can be applied to electronics, to biological systems, even to social networks, where does it end? Could we one day see self-modifying cities, self-modifying economies, maybe even a self-modifying planet? It's a question that's both exciting and a little bit scary, but it's one that we need to keep asking. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.